15, 16, and 17.
Simon had declared how God had the first driven the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And look, this the word of the prophet agreed, just as it is written. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up. Continue.
Yeah, Fred, not this is tough.
That the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are saying the Lord who does all these things.
Okay. So, in verse 14 of Acts 15, he says that, how difficult reading this is. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. And then notice how this progression, the words of the prophets are in agreement with this. After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. What is that?
Nation of Israel.
He's going to rebuild. And then notice how what he says, its ruins I will rebuild and restore, and that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, that all Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things, that they have been known for ages. A people for his name, building again the tabernacle of David and the residue of men. Remember when the Lord talked about the kingdom of God is at hand? I mean, John the Baptist did, right? And then Luke chapter 17, Jesus makes an interesting statement. You know what he says the kingdom of God is? Within you. Right? How does that transpire? What does that mean? How can it be that suddenly the kingdom of God is at hand, and then he says, you know, the kingdom of God is within you? Well, we won't go into dissecting that passage at this point for time purposes, but think about that. Because one of the things that he is doing is that through the Lord Jesus Christ, he's bringing people whose hearts are turned to him because the cross has taken supreme importance in their life. It is no longer the tablets of stone, but the tablets in the heart, right? That's the New Testament dispensation of grace. And so he says in Ephesians chapter 1, you don't have to turn to this, but you just have to trust me now because we don't have time to go into all these verses, that in Ephesians chapter 1, he says there is a body of which Christ is the head. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says there's a building which is under construction. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, he says not only there's a building, but there is also a brotherhood. And finally, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, he says there is a bridal company who is responsive not just because of construction, but because of affection. Right? Because of affection. Now, notice what happens to our normal person who's unsaved. The normal person who's unsaved, and I can tell you that for myself, right? Because I don't have an affection for Christ, right? But I have an attraction to other things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And attraction, when I'm obsessed with attraction, what happens? I lose control, and that is called addiction. Mm-hmm. It's not rational, mm-hmm. right? And then that addiction becomes my God, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Yes. That is allegiance. And a whole bunch of people that have allegiance come together, and we have an alliance. God in his government says, wait a minute. If you then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things that are above. And I want all those people who have that kind of affection to come together and have an alliance so that you may sing praises to me. Right?
And when you come together, all of your alliance will show that there's only one person to whom you place your allegiance.
Yeah, yeah, and right. That is the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And that is God's government.
And so, in this situation, on the basis of grace, we have the domain of the family. Okay, Titus chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. That is the domain of the church. Remember when Paul says, I'm leaving you in Crete that you may set in order. The word is bring back to complete health,
which is the word from which we get hygiene from. Not health, but hygiene. In the English word, it's not, we think of it as health, but it's actually hygiene. The very basis for good health is what he's saying. I'm leaving you in Crete that you may set in order in the church, right? And then he goes on to say, appoint elders. And then he goes and provides for us. Remember, he doesn't say appoint evangelists, right? He doesn't say appoint teachers. He doesn't say appoint pastors. Why? Because what is the difference between elders and pastors and teachers and evangelists?
They're gifts.
They're gifts. You can physically appoint a pastor, but if they don't have a gift of pastor, you can't do anything about it, right?
I mean, in our church, this particular elder has left our church because he moved away. But you know, he had a particular gift, okay. And one of the things that he did was that every time he got together, he could communicate the gospel just like that. What is that gift?
Evangelism,
right?
So now they expect me to do the same thing. You know. I mean, now remember, I'm not saying that evangelists or teachers or pastors are any good, better, best, whatever it is, and they're all equal before God because God has provided those gifts, and every gift that God gives is irrevocable in Romans chapter 12, and so they're equal. In God's government, they're equal, right? Mm-hmm. But in God's government, he says that you use the gifts within the body for development naturally. Naturally, right? You can't appoint a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist. But you appoint elders who are supposed to do the work of shepherding.
Yes.
Because the job description is given from the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 13, right?
Right.
It says feed the flock, you know, prevent them and purpose for them and things of that nature. So
there are some positional things that he gives. Now the positional things are based on value
by purchase.
You and I are positionally equal before God by purchase.
But when he talks about relationships within the body of Christ, he says, I want you to do that not by value, but by volition. In other words, he says, I can't make you do those things. Volitionally. He wants people to give because they want to give. Right? He wants people to serve because they want to serve. He who wants to be an elder desires a noble task. Right? It's a desire. Yeah, we can put a big list on the bulletin board and say, please sign up to bring your favorite pie and that kind of stuff, and that's okay. But in terms of God's design for his church, he wants people who are gifted to do this volitionally. In other words, I tell my young people in my church, I want you guys to step up to the plate because today the pianist is gone. Don't just wait. Just tell me I want to do it. I don't want you to sign up. Just do it. Right? Come forward. Don't just hide your gift under a bushel. Come forward. We want those kind of people. In God's design, He wants that kind of stuff to happen. See, and when God's organism works according to His design, it works the best, right?
Yes.
When we try to squeeze things because we think that is the way it ought to be, we create resistance. We create reluctance. And then we create rebellion. On the other hand, because the church is a brotherhood, as brothers and sisters, right? In fact, one of the things that Paul says in Galatians is the fact that if someone is caught in a fault, he who is
spiritual.
In other words, that somebody that has a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, just you go and put your hand around it and try to restore him. How? Gently. Okay? Put it on, restore him gently. But the biblical precedent is always restoration before amputation, right? The biblical principle is restoration before amputation.
Now, I'm going to take 5 minutes and go into the male-female relationship pretty quickly, okay? Order calls for submission to His design. Order calls for submission to His design. And one of the things that I have learned over time is submission is the splendor of divine order.
Submission is the splendor of divine order. I'll give an example. I'm the chief operating officer for a corporation where I am residing, okay? One summer, I was asked to accompany my kids' choir on a tour. And so the bus pulls in, and everybody says, "You're supposed to go over to this place and eat." And I look at the eating places, and I said, "I'm going to Wendy's. I don't like Wendy's. You know what I mean? Wendy's not good. I'm just, you know, having a good example." Okay. I look around, and there's Arby's. So I trudge over there to Arby's. Everybody is over here, okay? And as I'm sitting over there, looking at eating my Arby's, you know, I think pricked in my heart for the fact that I made this unilateral decision to go to Arby's. And I suddenly struck me that the person in charge is not me. The person in charge is a choir. I need a chief operating officer of another company. But under that government, I had to submit. Right? Submission is the glory and the splendor of divine order. Okay? Now, the divine order is for divine purposes. And the divine purpose that God wants to show each one of us is the character of God. And the character of the godly. And the character of the godly is developed by the conduct of the godly. And so in 1 Timothy he says, "Let me tell you, Timothy, how people ought to conduct themselves in the household of God." That's why 1 Timothy was written. For people could conduct themselves to always manifest the character of God and develop the character of the godly. And that is why in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11 through 14, somebody read that for me. Very quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. First Timothy 2,
11 through 14.
As you know, how we glory and comforted and charged every one of you, all his spiritual servants, that he would walk worthy of God, who had called you unto his kingdom and glory. That is God also thank you, God, to bless you, because when you receive the word of God, you see word of us, you receive the death and the word of God.
I'm sorry, I think I gave you the wrong.
1 Timothy
2. Yeah, 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 14.
Let the woman learn in silence without objection. And I suffer that a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was firstborn, gently. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
Okay. Now remember I said that Paul gives us the reason for why Satan went to Eve, right? Because Paul tells us that the reason this order is because of the priority of creation and the possibility of deception. The priority of creation and the possibility of deception. It has nothing to do with importance or not important or inferiority or superiority. He says, this is God's order. And in God's order, he says, the males are supposed to take the leadership. Over the past few years, we've seen the masculinization of women and the feminization.
All right.
And in churches, we see that. Because the women are the ones that step up to the plate when the men should be. God has placed us in that role, believers, to take the leadership. It is a tragedy that we have taken by default what the Bible says is not the way it ought to be. And we have allowed this to happen because we have not done what God's order requires. It is not because men are superior or women are inferior. It is because God designed it that way, and don't ask me why. I don't know. Okay? I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. But he says, this is why you should do this. And who am I to question God? He says, this is why women should do it. Men should take the leadership role. And that does not mean that there are no responsibilities for women. That is not true. Remember, there are three different governmental domains that I said, right? The family, which is the home, the church, and government. Here, this is talking about church. In the family, it's a different order. And Paul catches that through Titus as to what the women should be doing, how they should be teaching their kids, and so on and so forth, and what to love their husbands and to reverence them, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. That's a different thing. Mm-hmm. And so I would hope that you would understand that man is built in the image of God, and the word image is E-I-K-O-N, icon, right? And in the IT world and IT information age, we should know that, right? Because we click on an icon to open the file. The icon is not the file, right? It's a representation. Mm. And man, Adam, was a representative of God. The first Adam. And therefore the second Adam comes, and Adam, first Adam screwed up, right? And then he says that men should take the leadership in the church and keep going forward. So anyway, that's just my take on God's grace and God's government, and I wanted to, I don't know, if you have any questions.
I think I've been longer than I probably should.
You said that you had a chief executive officer, and you went to Arby's. Did you turn around and go to Winterdwine?
No, I sat there and I ate my Arby's roast beef sandwich, and then as I was walking across the
the driveway is when it hit me. That, and then for the remainder of the tour, I never again went against the choir director's wishes, even though there were many times I disagreed with him.
Did that sandwich give you indigestion?
Well, let me tell you this. I never asked recipe. Any other questions?
Well, thank you, Lester, for the prayer. God and Father, we're so grateful that you are the creator of order and design according to your purposes, which is for your glory. We pray, Father, that as we study this, as you unfold your design and purposes to us, that we might be able to follow this, that you give us a heart, because we thirst after righteousness to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.